Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Marnie Vinge, and this is Erieoki. Join me and my friends as we explore the darker side of the Sooner State.
I'm Marnie Vinge, and this is Erieoki, and I'm here this afternoon with none other than Jeff Provine, longtime friend of the show, and we are talking about his new book, which is Secret Oklahoma City, for a Halloween special episode for you guys. So welcome back, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for having me. Happy Halloween.
Yes, happy Halloween. It's spooky season officially. I always know it's spooky season, or at least like my indication of it is when it gets just about that time of year that I want to reread this one particular nonfiction book that is kind of spooky-ish. So I always read Piercing the Darkness in the fall, which is like it was written in 1997 or 98 by Catherine Ramsland, and it's basically like about the vampire subculture in the 90s. Mm. So it's very fun, and it's got like this true crime story in it too, which makes it even better. But yeah, so So it is definitely spooky season. Are you doing anything special for spooky season?
Ghost tours are back.
Yes,
after COVID's finally calming down a little bit.
Yeah, I saw that we're on a downward trend. Like, that made me happy, so that's good.
So yeah, keep getting those vaccinations.
Yep, keep getting those shots. Get those jabs.
Oof.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm just going to let Jeff take over and kind of tell you guys some of the stories from this Secret Oklahoma City book. I'm super excited. All right.
I guess to begin at the beginning, Reedy Press reached out to me and they said, hey, we do this line of like weird stuff that's in different cities. And, you know, we have ones for Boston and Chicago and things. Is there anything you could talk about in Oklahoma City? And yeah,
absolutely. Like, yes.
There's so much stuff that we,
yes,
that is quote unquote secret, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of secret stuff that we don't talk about.
Right. Yeah.
We save that for the true crime podcast about, yes, body parts appearing, yes, in different buildings.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a little bit different because I do all the haunted books and things. Mm-hmm. And very geared toward,
it's more kind of like
supernatural,
weird, yeah, and obscure things, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So this is much more, hey, isn't this neat?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the subtitle is Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure.
Love it.
So, which all kinds of wonderful and obscure stuff out there that, yeah, it's a little weird, but like, it's not spooky. Or
right, right. Awful. It's like, yeah, when I found out about the tunnels under Oklahoma City, the, oh, yeah, like the ones with the neon lights that connect, mm-hmm, a bunch of the buildings. And like, my mom told me that back in the 80s, which is when I think she was working downtown, there were bars down there. It was like the place to go after work, and there were cafes where they would have lunch. And if you go in there now, it's basically, there's not a whole lot of like that going on in the,
yeah,
tunnels.
There's a few cafes and things.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And it's neon lit. It's really cool. But it is kind of one of those weirder things that even growing up in Norman and more, I didn't know about it until, yeah, I was like a teenager. So, mm-hmm,
and lots of local art now. It's like a,
yeah,
like a mile long art gallery.
Yes. And there's lots of stuff about like the oil industry, mm-hmm, like lots of photographs of stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Pretty
cool.
Who knew, right?
But yeah. So regale us with the tales of Secret Oklahoma City.
Well, I like to arrange things a little bit chronologically, right? So, mm-hmm, we can kind of get a picture of where things come from.
And, okay.
Oklahoma City is actually a lot older in this area than I thought. So,
yeah,
which, I mean, you would typically, I mean, you could go back to prehistoric times, European speaking, and there's buffalo hunting legends and things.
This, yeah,
is a big thing. But even white folks moving through what became Indian territory, Washington Irving, right?
Yeah, I saw that. Hollow. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
True story. So he was coming back from his pseudo ambassadorship in Spain, and met up with a bunch of weird guys, like a pseudo count from Switzerland and a professional adventurer and all these guys. And they were like, yeah, we're going to meet up with some of our military buddies and we're going to go take a tour of the prairies.
That's,
do you want to come?
That's so funny.
Yeah. And so absolutely. And And you can go read Tour of the Prairies. It's Gutenberg has it out there now for free.
So, okay.
Check it out and get some really verbose description of just the strange perspective on what we live in today.
Yeah. Oh, like, that's interesting.
The trees end and then it's just endless open space forever.
Yeah.
And it terrified them.
Oh my gosh. So. Oh, I had never thought about that, but that would be kind of, if you had never seen land that just went on, like, you know how they, Johnetta always says that in the prairie or in Kansas or Oklahoma where it's really flat, you can watch your dog run away for a week. And it's kind of like, if you've never seen that and you've only seen like mountains and trees and kind of this very limited horizon of what you see.
Yeah.
That could be kind of terrifying.
Yeah. So very, so they would like jog back into the trees to camp because they were worried that people were going to find them. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean,
that's interesting.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
And I guess not necessarily a ghost story, but they spotted this white Mustang that kept following them and messing with them for a while. Which a big deal, all through the prairies for like 60 years, they had the legend of the white Mustang, this uncatchable wild horse that was just absolutely amazing.
And yeah.
And he apparently sighted it and, took off and nobody could catch it. And, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That would have been just about Arcadia, a little bit north of Arcadia.
Okay.
And you can drive up there and they have a little info thing on this is probably where the campsite was based on how he was describing everything through the journal.
Right.
And then he basically goes down I-35 and in Moore has a buffalo hunt and shoots a buffalo. And,
oh, that's crazy. Yeah, oh, my gosh.
And then kind of jogs back on 240, give or take.
Yeah.
And yeah, so.
And this is Washington Irving who wrote, is that who it is?
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. That is wild. Oh, so, my gosh.
What a connection.
Yeah. I didn't know that we had a connection to Washington Irving. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. He's a visitor. Yep. So that's the 1830s. And then 1840s, this was the middle route to go for the gold rush in California. So lots of folks passing through there.
Oh, yeah.
Learned about Reno. So Reno, major road in Oklahoma City, older than the town, because that was the old military road running out to Fort Reno back in the 1870s. I didn't
know that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So
I never made that connection in my mind somehow that Reno and Fort Reno, but that makes total sense.
So, and then the railroad came through 2 years before the town. So there was Oklahoma Station was technically the name of this place. Wow. Yeah. But on the mail, everybody wrote Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
So finally, it was like officially in 1920, they actually changed it. So it was technically Oklahoma Station, but
that's you interesting. It was
Oklahoma City. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
So, yeah. Just all kinds of weird little bits of, what's that?
Yeah.
And some of them are pretty spooky. Like there's the legend that the first mayor of Oklahoma City, William L. Couch, died in a gunfight.
Oh.
Which is almost true, actually.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So he was elected on our mayor May 1st, 1889. So the first election they had. And then the riots broke out. And since we had these two rival governments and different people saying they're in charge. And the Supreme Court finally sorted it out and had another election. And he won that one, too.
Okay.
So either way, however you want to count it. But then later he stepped away from being mayor since he technically lived outside of city limits when they got those established.
Okay.
But the land that he claimed, two other guys also claimed. So they'd be out there looking at each other across these 160 acres. And finally, that March decided they were going to settle it. And so they had a duel.
Oh,
And he didn't win.
That is, it's so crazy to think that, like, that was a way to settle disputes. Yeah. Back in the day, like, over anything. Like, if it was over a girl, if it was over, like, land, like, anything like that. You know, it's like, well, we'll just figure out who wins by killing one of us.
I mean, it does settle the matter.
It does. So, it does, technically. It's a very clean settlement. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
probably shouldn't go back to that.
Probably not.
Might be a problem.
Yeah.
So, but it gives us weird stories like that.
That's
so
true.
Yeah. And, well, he didn't die in the fight. He died of his wounds afterward.
Okay.
But he had a big funeral procession April 22nd, 1890. So the first anniversary of the land run. They also had the mayor funeral.
Oh my gosh. Doesn't seem like a good omen.
Yeah. Very, very strange.
Yeah.
Let's see. Other fun bits. We have Will Rogers Airport, right? And everybody's like, oh, Oklahoma City has an airport named after a guy who died in a crash. Well, that's not quite true. We have two airports named after two guys who died in the same crash. since yes. we also have Wiley Post up yes, on the north side.
That is true. Yeah. I had never really thought about that, but that's interesting.
Yeah.
It's so. Like, why would you pick that particular person?
Which I wonder that. But like, if you look at their lives, like they were calculated yeah. risks. Like they knew yeah. that there was always the chance mm-hmm. that it wasn't going to happen. But Will Rogers, especially, because he never flew mm-hmm. much of anything. He'd always just tag along.
Yeah.
But without him showing that you can do passenger air mm-hmm. travel and hopping on these mail planes and things.
Yeah.
It
makes sense. Yeah. yeah
mm-hmm. Things would have been slowed down decades.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Just gave everything I had, I guess.
Yeah. And he's sort of even aside from like the flying stuff, he's such an Oklahoma, icon.
For sure. Yeah.
Like with everything that he mm-hmm. did. So, yeah.
So it's worth a joke too.
Yeah, it is definitely.
It's a fitting reminder. He'd have a good laugh at that.
Yeah. I'm always like flying is one of my biggest fears. Like I don't know why. I mean, I know that your odds of dying in a plane crash are so like significantly lower, but like that doesn't help when you're up in the air and you hit like really rough turbulence. Yeah. It's kind of like all of that logic just goes mm-hmm. out the window and it's like, no, for real, I'm going to die right now. So yeah,
just got a deal.
One of the worst turbulences I ever experienced was when I was on my way to Norway, and that was the sucky part because it was on the flight. We flew from here to Houston, Houston to New Jersey, New Jersey to Norway. And it was on the leg that was from Houston to New Jersey. So it was kind of like, well, you have to get on the next plane. Like you can't really like just decide that you're not going to. So, oh God, it was awful.
Oof. Most intense collective prayer I've ever been a part of was landing in Queens, New York.
Oh,
during
gosh.
An ice storm.
Oh, gosh.
Because it was zero visibility. They were doing everything on instruments.
Oh, Lord.
Until you got underneath the clouds, and then there were building tops. Like,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's terrifying. So. Yeah, that was kind of my experience on that flight to New Jersey. It wasn't stormy or anything, but there was just such bad turbulence that the people beside me and in front of me were starting to tell each other that they loved each other and that it was going to be okay, or that they would see them in the next life. Like it was, that's always fun when everybody starts panicking.
Well, I mean, maybe it's a positive thing.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's good. They had their priorities straight. I, on the other hand, was just panicking.
So there's another weird thing. I guess more historical stuff. One of the biggest oil spills of all time, the Wild Mary Sudik derrick.
Oh, really?
Yeah, happened in kind of what is now East Moore.
Oh, I didn't. So, yeah. I have no idea. I've never even heard about that. So what happened?
Sure. Yeah, so the Oklahoma City oil field going crazy in the late 20s, mm-hmm. and they were just putting in as many derricks as they could. And
yeah.
One of them didn't have very good care on it. I mean, it was kind of a perfect storm of the stuff had gotten rusty, and the guys weren't taking care of it, and like Christmas was coming up, all mm-hmm. kinds of bad stuff. And then gas built up, and then it blew and sprayed hundreds of thousands of gallons of oil into the air. And the south wind caught it and blew it all the way to the state capitol. So all the brownstone the graystone started getting all these black speckles on it. And then the north wind switched over and OU campus got covered. And
How do you clean up something like that?
Lots of sand. Yeah. Basically just have to scrub it and bury it.
Yeah.
At that point. Oh, gosh. Because it's not useful for anything.
Yeah.
Mm. And they had to invent new technology to be able to drill down next to it and cap it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Just for days and days and days.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is.
Which, you could smell the fumes. So, people were advised for a couple of miles, don't use lamps. And
yeah. Oh, my gosh. A couple of miles. Wow. That is... intense.
Yeah. So always something a little bit interesting. Or a couple years later, 1950, we had the escape of Leapy the Leopard from the zoo.
From the Oklahoma City Zoo?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so, I like this story already.
Yeah. It's my dad actually told me this the first I'd heard of it. He was just, three or four at the time.
What year was it again?
1950.
Okay.
So his big memory, he said, was they had to keep all the trash in the garage. They couldn't put it out on the curb.
Because Leapy might come by. Right.
Yeah,
because
people were nervous that they were feeding him and so forth. Yeah. And they were trying to think. And they had leopard sightings all over the place, which of course people are going to be like,
oh, yeah.
But like, there's some pretty credible sources.
I imagine some of them really did.
Probably. Because, yeah, he was just kind of skulking around. And everybody went nuts. They called in the National Guard.
Why is this not in an Oklahoma history class? Because that would be so much fun. Like, so, oh my gosh.
Here's why we don't panic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it was like front page news internationally. Wow. Life magazine came out and took pictures. And
that's crazy.
They had professional big game hunters fly down from Denver to like skulk around.
What a scene. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, that is so, it's kind of, it sounds like a movie almost. Like,
it would make a good
movie. Yeah, it would make a good movie.
Dear Netflix.
Yes. Dear Netflix.
We'll do a CG lion so we don't even have to pay for it.
Exactly. Yeah.
That'd be great. So, yeah. But he really didn't get too far from the zoo. They left out a bunch of horse meat with tranquilizers in him for him. And he was apparently too scared to eat around. So people really didn't have to worry about their things, their trash or anything. Mm-hmm. So he just gorged on it once he got it, which, unfortunately, then they found him, and they weren't able to resuscitate him. And,
that's sad,
But happy ending to the story. He was stuffed and put back in the zoo.
Yeah.
And got 16,000 letters of fan appreciation.
Oh, my gosh. So. Do they still have him at the zoo somewhere?
I've been told he's in storage in the museum, the zoo-seum down there. Yeah. Okay. He's a little wear for tear there.
Probably, yeah.
But still doing proud.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. I can't believe I've never heard that. That's a great story.
Yeah. Which there's all kinds of weird zoo stories, like the hippopotamus song, I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. Oklahoma City native. She moved up to Kansas and then got her music career going.
Mm-hmm.
And so of course, Oklahoma City jumped on that being Oklahoma City native. And
had
people donate pennies, and that's how we got Matilda the hippopotamus for decades down at
Oh my gosh.
They did the same thing for the Judy the elephant.
Yes, lots of older I remember. Listeners.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember Judy the elephant, yeah. Mm-hmm. My grandma always told me that story about Judy. And I feel like one of the elders in my family told some story about the girl who sang the hippopotamus song. Like maybe they had lived in the same area or
I believe it,
something like that. Or they had known her as a child or whatever it was. I don't remember, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, total hometown person.
Right? Yeah.
They got to come from somewhere. So why not here?
Yeah, exactly.
Other cool zoo story. So the this, called the Lincoln Zoo is what where it is now, Oklahoma City Zoo. But it used to be down on the river, kind of across from where Wheeler Park is now.
Okay.
That was the original zoo. And
really?
Yeah, that was the big Del Mar Gardens, the place to hang out. And they had theaters there and Lugosi, Lon Chaney Sr.
Oh, wow.
Hung out there for quite a while during part of his career.
That's
before
cool.
Before he got into movies.
Yeah.
And there's a legend that Lon Chaney Jr. was made there, I guess. What's the correct term? He and
conceived.
His wife. Conceived. There you
yes.
go. Yes.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of other places.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I hope that's true.
So, yeah. Some kind of connection. But 1923, there was a big flood.
Okay.
And lots of towns around central Oklahoma talk about the flood, 1923 and things. And it came through Oklahoma City so fast that the zookeepers couldn't, like, safely save the animals. So they just unlocked the gates and ran.
Oh, wow.
So we had all these deer and coyotes and a bear, a honey bear, and just all these animals running loose in floodwaters, and when they had to run around and catch them again.
Wow. And, oh, my gosh. It was like the Tigernado before the Tigernado.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, fun times.
Oh, yeah.
All throughout.
It's always fun when the wild animals from the zoo get loose. That's always exciting.
Oh, my God. But, and book also talks a lot about modern stuff, too. So, not just historical weird bits, but things you can go out and go see today.
Okay.
Talk a lot about the museums around town.
Yeah.
So, like, the American Pigeon Museum.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been?
I haven't. So, what is the deal with that? What exactly is it?
It is amazing. It changed my life.
Okay.
Like, which is weird
I gotta
to
go.
Say,
I've seen it many times. I've driven by it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, yeah. Which, yeah, I'm used to not be a fan of pigeons at all. Just street vermin. Like.
Yes. But, yeah. Rats with wings.
Yeah. 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 But it's funded by the American Racing, Pigeon Racing folks.
Okay.
And they really put together an awesome museum.
Pigeon racing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
I need to go up there. Yeah. That sounds cool.
Yeah, they have the library built up, and they have all these clocks that are like radio timed. And yeah,
oh, that's cool.
That like invented technology so they could show whose pigeons are fastest. And
that's really cool. Yeah. There is nothing I love more than like very niche specific like things like that where people are like really passionate about it and they create this technology just for this like pigeon racing kind of a thing. I love that. And I also love like very niche drama, like drama within the art world or something like with the pink and black paint, that whole thing. And
oh, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Stuart Semple, I think. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely visit the museum and you can get a taste on some of that in their library.
Okay.
And competitors. And
perfect.
And also go on a sunny day because they have some pigeons who live there.
Oh, really?
And they have the museum shows, you know, thousands of years of pigeon development and that's how they've so been grown cool. for their plumage and stuff. And you can pet the pigeons. And
wow.
Like, yeah. It's really exciting.
That's interesting. Oh my gosh. I've seen it many times, but I had no idea that it was that cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So definitely. And it's free, right? Mm-hmm. No reason not to go.
That's super cool.
Yeah. Pick a good day and maybe even call ahead to make sure they got the pigeons coming out.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just adorable.
You wouldn't want to miss that part for sure.
Yeah. Totally awesome. Speaking of petting stuff, you can go down to Stockyard City. They've got the Rattlesnake and Venom Museum.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I've wanted to go there. I haven't been there yet either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Which part of this putting the book together was I had to go to all these places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, oh, that's
so
awesome.
My whole to-do list is pretty much checked off now. Just because I got to get the lowdown and it's awesome. They have just row after row after row of all these fascinating creatures and got folks that will talk to them about them. And like the Gabon Viper,
which is
this weird little stubby thing that like, if you look at it, it'll kill you. Like,
oh my gosh.
So unbelievably poisonous. And it's a little dwarpy thing right there.
It's just like tiny.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Oh my gosh.
Oh, and they also have Muttley. So not poisonous, but Galapagos tortoise. Oh. So son of one of the tortoises up from the Oklahoma City Zoo.
Oh really?
And he is just adorable. He loves getting petted. Mm-hmm. So
do you know how old he is?
He should be, gosh, only like 40 or 50 years old.
Okay,
so not,
not
super old.
By Galapagos tortoise standards, he's very young.
Yeah, he's a little whippersnapper.
Yep, so. Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
So he's, they said he's also a pretty big goober. He'll just lay out in the sun all day. And
That's so cute. I need to go see him.
Highly recommend. What else? Oh, the Banjo Museum. Been to the Banjo Museum?
I haven't been there. I've heard of it. Yeah.
Also another thing to check off the list. It
Didn't
does cost
Steve
a little bit.
Steve Martin go there? Yeah.
You can go see. They have a case with his banjo that was awarded to him.
Okay. Yeah.
For his lifetime achievement in the arts from not Carnegie Hall, but Kennedy Center.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and they will open your eyes on banjos, which I was banjos are kind of cool. And like, that's what they had in Deliverance, right?
Yeah. That's
like,
all I know about them.
Oh my
gosh.
No, like, they trace its roots back through, tying with, slaves who were making their own instruments.
Really?
Linking together, drums and strings. Mm-hmm. Like musically, it's super fascinating instrument.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had never thought about that, but yeah, it is like,
yeah.
Drums and strings.
And then when, 1920s, 30s music, jazz, and things get going, it can be played fast enough.
Yeah.
Like a lot of the other instruments just aren't fast enough to keep up with what you want to do for the songs, but banjos can. So they were huge. Like people
really
making millions of dollars back and that money
as
performers and traveling nationally and internationally. And
wow. Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah. So they got like diamond encrusted gold banjos up there. Just like
that's
people
crazy.
From their collection.
Oh
yeah,
my gosh. That's so cool.
So what we need is a Steve Martin movie where there's a heist at the Banjo Museum.
Obviously. Yeah.
So Netflix.
Yes. Get on that one, too.
That's right.
There's a lot happening in Oklahoma City that you need to cover.
Oklahoma City series.
Exactly. Yeah. It can be one of those, like, anthology series where, really famous people are in each episode and Steve Martin can be in the banjo heist.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oklahoma stories.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. We can do that. So, definitely check that out, the Railroad Museum, if you haven't been up there.
I haven't been there.
It's very cool getting to check out all the
railroads
themselves.
Where is that
one? It's a little bit south of the zoo, kind of also by the Firefighters Museum.
Yeah, I know where that is. Okay.
Yeah, which also mind-blowing on fire technology and
That's really interesting to me. Yeah.
Yeah. The coolest thing I thought about the Railroad Museum was that they have camps, which not like a camp, but like a Saturday morning, you can come out and learn how to drive a diesel engine. And
that's cool. Drive it around. Yeah. Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. So that's on my bucket list.
Yeah, for sure.
Which I guess that's the thing about bucket lists. You check stuff off and then you add two or three more things.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's super fun.
So
I actually have a girl that I was friends with when I was little, and her father is the one that monument is based on.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So he was the firefighter that lost his life helping someone. And not that does, I mean, there are other firefighters, of course, who did. But and she was there when they commemorated it and everything. And so, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic museum. Just row after row after row of different fire trucks from different mm-hmm. makes and different years. And
that's so cool.
How they do different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the first ever fire station in Oklahoma is mm-hmm. in Oklahoma City. It wasn't built here. It was up in Fort Supply.
Okay.
So, which back then was kind of weird to have a building dedicated as a fire station.
Yeah.
So they basically they just used gardening tools and would mm-hmm. try to, like, put out the flames best they could.
Oh, man, yeah. But
by the time Fort Supply was around, they had enough technology mm-hmm. that they had this dedicated little wooden shed.
I remember there's obviously this isn't in Oklahoma, but talking about fires in previous centuries, there's an episode. Have you watched Outlander?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really good, because Diana Gabaldon is actually a Scottish history scholar, I'm pretty mm-hmm. sure. So it's very, the books are really good because it's like very engaging, like for a modern audience, but she does a really good job of making the history real and that sort of stuff. And I think they did that well on the show too, but there's an episode where a family's house is being burned down because I guess they didn't pay enough in their taxes or mm-hmm. whatever it was, or the highwayman just set it on fire. And I was thinking about it as I was watching it, and like, there's nothing they could have done back then if your house was burning like that. Like there would be no chance of salvaging anything. So mm-hmm. it's interesting to think about when the first fire stations became a thing, like, mm-hmm. and they had like the fire truck and fire hydrants and stuff like that. So,
yeah. So go check it out. Fire Museum. Gosh, what haven't we talked about? I guess kind of more, weird modern stuff like, mm-hmm. Stinchcombe Park up mm-hmm. north of Lake Overholser. Half of it doesn't have any paths to it. Like you have to go to it by boat.
Really?
Yeah. Kind of this, it's, so
that's,
it's wetlands.
Yeah.
And they'd set it aside as a reserve. So it's mm-hmm. you know, part of the park service. Mm-hmm. and there's a nice, really nice walking trail up on the east side of it, mm-hmm. but the whole west side, like you have to rent a little canoe and,
oh, wow.
Well, I mean, you can bring your own canoe for those of us who have them.
Yeah.
But canoes are kayaks. Yeah, it's super peaceful.
Yeah. In 2019, me and a friend of mine went on a moonlight kayaking thing at Lake Overholser. And I kind of wonder if they took us up there, because it was very mm-hmm. much like you had to go under the bridge mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. go up into the canal and stuff like that. And we didn't go all the way, but we went a fair ways and then turned around and everything. And it was beautiful, even at night. It was very wild, like very not developed or anything. And me and my friend kept joking. She was like, this is the perfect place to spot a werewolf. And it was around Halloween, so.
Yeah. The werewolf Stinchcombe Park. That could be another episode.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It started here, folks.
Let's see. Other kind of, I guess, weird stuff, like the radio, the Rodeo Cinema, the movie house down in the Stockyard City,
mm-hmm.
Was a movie house back originally. So, like, that's 100 years later, and you can go watch movies like the Cowboys did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is kind of a weird thought, but, like,
that's cool. I mean, it reminds me of that scene in Tombstone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's interesting. Oh, so, my gosh.
Yeah, it's just kind of those little bits and bops that you never really think about. Mm. But here's the explanation of why. Like the milk bottle building up on Class
93. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, why is there a milk bottle?
Right.
Well, as the Triangle Grocery Store was mm-hmm. built on, you know, 3 street intersections, pretty mm-hmm. awesome place to be, but bigger buildings were built around it. So he mm-hmm. got kind of choked out of people wanting to stop and get groceries because, you know, they just drive by it and don't think about it. So he needed some kind of advertisement, and it needed to be super narrow and super tall.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, what's super narrow and super tall? I'm like, oh, a milk bottle. And
yeah.
So they just put together the sheet metal milk bottle.
That's smart.
Like it seems completely insane.
Good advertising. But, yeah. Yeah. It does. Yeah. Which it's, I think advertising, my mom was an advertising major, and she said one of the things that they taught her was, it doesn't matter if the ad's stupid. What matters is if someone remembers it.
That's true. Stupid sells.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. So like a giant milk bottle, that's great, because nobody's going to forget that.
Yeah. People are still driving by and stopping and taking pictures to this day.
Exactly. So, yeah. Smart guy. Yeah.
Which I guess if you've been out on Choctaw Road over east of town, they've got the giant Sonic drink cup out there. Yeah.
I don't think I've seen that.
So. So as you're heading out on 240, once you pass as you're approaching Choctaw Road, they got the Sonic up there.
Okay.
And they took one of the firefighting water towers. Mm-hmm. So it's not potable water or anything. It's just reserved for firefighting. And instead of just having this big drum out there, they painted it up like a Sonic cup with
that's
all the fruity
amazing.
Stuff on it.
Oh
and
my gosh.
A straw sticking out the top.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Oh, so, that is fun.
People make road trips just to go get pictures with that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next, nice day.
Yeah. Right? Next time. Yeah. Because I know where that Sonic is, and I don't know how I can't place the giant cup. So yeah, I'll have to look for it the next time I'm out there.
So tons and tons of weird little things to do all over town.
And one of the things, this is a fun fact that I saw in there, is that Ralph Ellison was actually from Oklahoma City.
That's right. Yeah.
So, and I know, like, some people know that, but not a lot of people know that, I think.
I didn't know it until, doing the research for the Haunted Oklahoma City book a few years ago. Because we have Ralph Ellison Library.
Right, but,
I mean, it could have just been named
exactly,
after him
because
he's a cool guy.
He's an author, It could have just been, exactly. Yeah.
But turns out he's a cool guy from Oklahoma City. All kinds of fun little history bits. I was reading about him, and just a tiny piece got put in. But like he really wanted to be a trumpeter early on, and like took a year off from school so he could learn the trumpet. And that didn't work out for him. So he just won prize winning or just did prize winning literature instead.
Yeah. it's like, well, that didn't work out. So,
But it's cool. Like you can see like a lot of his early stuff, the short stories talking about experiences up at, being a waiter at Oklahoma City Country Club, or his poem Between Two Frontier Hills. It's like that's the hill that Calvary Church is on, and the old military hill.
Wow.
Yeah, you can
that's
just
really
piece
cool.
these things together. Which also, he would have gone to the old Oklahoma City High School at the same time, the original Douglas. Well, not the new big one, but he would have been there the same time as Charlie Christian, the guy who invented the electric guitar.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. They probably played music together at some point.
That's like, really interesting.
It would have been weird
if they hadn't.
Because they were both living here at the same time, both super interested in music at the time, and then kind of went different paths.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting. Oh my gosh.
So there's another episode we could do. Some kind of weird crossover between them.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That would be good. We could do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Which the Charlie Christian story, like it's super fascinating because he was also originally not into string instruments, which like we were talking about banjos. I mean, guitars were like a thing you had in the rhythm section to go along with the bass.
Right.
Like, you didn't really think about guitars, and then built his own and was experimenting with it and really got into electric guitars and developing music for that. So early that when his agent heard it and thought, this is going to change everything, which, it did.
Yeah.
He took him to Glenn Miller, right? The Glenn Miller band.
Wow.
Right? Big band. That's what's playing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you got to listen to this. And Glenn Miller's like, okay, well, I'm busy, but we'll give him a shot. And he's a kid. And so he came out there and with his amplifier, and he's like, no need to plug that in. Like, it's just an instrument. I'm like, no, it sounds completely different. He's like, it's an instrument. How is it going to sound different?
Right.
And
it does.
Yeah. So he didn't even have a concept of.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And that's like the guy in music.
Oh, yeah.
Then,
yeah.
Then this young guy comes along with something that he can't even comprehend, to the point that Glenn Miller just, kept him in the band for a while until his agent found out Glenn Miller was hanging out at a club for dinner and snuck Charlie Christian on stage with his amplifier to show him what he could be,
That's amazing.
And
oh my gosh.
And then was like, all right, we're going to start our own thing with this. And
He's like, oh, okay. Okay. Yep. I see what you're doing. Yeah.
So
that's cool.
Just all happened right there on Second Avenue.
Oh my gosh. That's so crazy. Oh, wow. Yeah. So this book, it seems like so much fun, and it's a really good, a lot of these things you can just go see, like day trip kind of like wander around Oklahoma City and see a lot of these things. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So pretty anytime cool. you're bored, just flip through and...
Yeah, just pick, you know, a place.
Like, oh, let's go to the Osteology Museum.
Which, exactly.
Which you should be doing anyway.
Yes, it's so cool. Yeah. It is so cool. Oh, my gosh. I love that place. Oh, it's so cool. I love that they have... I haven't been there recently, but they... And I know they redid their display during, like, the height of COVID and everything, but at one point they had an eye that... Have you ever seen one of those before? It's like a marsupial slash monkey kind of animal, and it's got this long index finger that's like that much longer than the other fingers, and it's because it has this claw on it. I sound like such a nerd right now. It has this claw on that long index finger, or it might be its middle finger, I don't know, but it taps on the tree to like find where the bugs are. Huh. And then it sticks that finger down in the hole and gets grub worms. Wow. When it finds them. Yeah. And they have these huge eyes. Like, they're just, oh my gosh, they're the coolest little things. And when I was a kid, my grandpa had this animal book that was basically the equivalent of, do you remember when we were younger, the DK books?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like those, but before those were a thing. And it was just this animal encyclopedia, and we would flip through it, and I would sit on his lap, and we'd look at all of it, and I would always want to look at the eye because it was just so strange looking and just super fun. And so, yeah. But they have one of those at the Osteology Museum. So it was very, very nostalgic for me when I saw that.
Gosh, yeah. I need to go back now.
Yeah. You'll have to look for the eye and his long claw. But yeah. Do you have anything else that you want to add from the book?
I mean, we could talk for hours about every little
thing. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Like the USS Oklahoma, the anchor, they pulled up and it's here in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drug up from the bottom of the Pacific.
That's crazy.
We could talk about, the exotic animal races over at Remington Park.
Oh, my gosh. Right?
Yeah, so it's a fundraiser they do every spring.
Yeah.
And they have people who trained up, like, ostriches and zebras and pigs and stuff.
Yeah.
And you can come see races with exotic animals.
Well, that's super fun. I'm going to have to go do that. Oh, my gosh.
So that's also on the to-visit list.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh.
Just all kinds of weird little... bips and bops that, you know, why not, right? It has to be somewhere. Why not
here? Oh, gosh, yeah. So do you want to tell everybody where they can purchase this?
So this was all over online, right? Amazon, Barnes & Noble and stuff. We'll also have them at awesome local shops like Full Circle and Best of Books. And you can always catch me on a ghost tour. I'll
be sure to carry a copy into. And I'm sure if you bought a copy and brought it to a ghost tour, Jeff would sign it for you.
Absolutely, no question.
So, yeah. Well, oh my gosh, this has been so much fun. You guys go buy Jeff's new book. It is awesome. It's super cool. And I also have a book coming out right now. It's been out for a while when this will air, but it is a horror anthology called The Reunion that me, Marissa, Johnetta, and Katie put together. And it's all stories that are based on urban legends. So go buy that too. Go grab those books. But
I read it this morning.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
I'll vouch for it.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Jeff. Yeah. We had a lot of fun putting that together, but yeah. So, you guys go buy Jeff's book, Secret Oklahoma City, and I will talk to you next time. Stay spooky.